Good morning. Welcome to Good Shepherd. We are in a series called Kingdom Culture. And it's a series on Jesus' biggest, most comprehensive, probably most memorable sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to be talking through some of those concepts today and moving through that over the next few weeks. If you're just joining us, welcome to unpacking Jesus' teaching. We're going to do some creative things in a minute, but I'd like to start with this thought experiment. How many of you have ever had a really good teacher? Okay, some of you haven't. So the people that raise their hands, you tell the person who doesn't raise their hand about your really good teacher. No, seriously, share with one another an experience you had with a really good teacher and what made them good. Ready? Go. Well, good. I'm glad that many of you had a positive experience, probably several positive experiences with teachers. They're kind of necessary in this life, and when they do a good job, it makes all the difference in the world. Well, Jesus, among many other things, was a master teacher. He's a master teacher not just because of what he says, although, of course, that's life-changing. As a matter of fact, the Sermon on the Mount has changed everything from political theory, just war theory, political action, to our approach to mental health and health care and education and teaching. And for 2,000 years, this sermon has changed the world. So his content is profound. His person is profound. He taught in a way that people said, who is this guy? He teaches different. He like has authority, and yet I don't mind getting close to him. I'm not afraid of him. Who is he? He also taught creatively. He was a master teacher, and he taught creatively. We're going to talk about some of his creative elements this morning. Before I do that, someone who has impacted my life greatly as a teacher, a guy that you may know as Pastor Greg. And I'm really serious about that. I have worked with Pastor Greg, come alongside him for 11 years, and I have been in some of his messages and teaching and staff meetings and congregational meetings and a whole bunch of places. And he's a really good teacher, and one of the things that he's great at is saying, no, not that, not that, not that, that. And he points us forward with clarity. Well, he's going to be missed because on June 30th, he officially retires from Good Shepherd, but he doesn't retire from Kingdom Work. He's going to be working as a senior advisor for Team World Vision out in the southwest quarter, which means I think he's going to go to the beach a lot or something, I'm not sure. But he's also going to get to hang out with some churches and challenge them to get on board with the Team World Vision idea and vision of running marathons and running 5Ks and 10Ks and really supporting kids around the world, especially in Africa, and getting some water to them. So we're excited for his transition. If you're around campus next weekend on around 6 o'clock right after the 5:05 service, we're going to have a celebration and a gathering in this room where we share stories and just say goodbye to a dear friend, a great pastor, a great teacher. So if you can make it next Saturday night, I encourage you to do that. If you can't, then next Sunday morning, I think in the narthex out there, we're going to do some cake and coffee. If you can't make any of those, make sure on your way out you high five and hug Pastor Greg. Because if you're like me and you've been in this room and you've heard him, sooner or later he's made an impact on your life. So let me read to you Jesus' opening words from this sermon. You've heard them already a couple times. I want to read them once again to set the context for what we're going to talk about today. Here's Jesus' words from his most famous sermon. These are his introductory comments. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, They'll be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, when they say false and evil things against you because of me, Jesus says. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Sounds like a big and lofty vision. I mean, who can live up to all of this? Jesus is just sort of teasing us with this super duper spirituality, right? No, because we're going to focus today on his next words, which are these. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it high up on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Sounds to me like Jesus has some expectations. But he's a master teacher, so he offers it to us in a way that we can understand. Would you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, you are the master teacher, and I'm grateful for your modeling of what it looks like. Help me to do justice to your words. Help us to be open to hear with our minds, with our hearts, with our bodies, that we would move in concert with your love. Lord Jesus, teach us this morning to be salt and light. In your name, amen. Salt and light are kind of basic. They're kind of necessary. And they're useful. How many of you have not at some point in your life, many times in your life, probably thousands of times in your life, interacted with salt and with light? In fact, you were interacting with salt before you came into this world. It's called amniotic fluid, and you're in this little bubble for 9 months, and it's got some saline in it because it's necessary to trigger all kinds of things, balance in your body that are causing you to grow before you ever see the light of day, which you do when you are born. You see the light of day, and all of a sudden that light triggers a whole bunch more layers of growth that begin this thing called human life. So we begin with salt and light. Jesus is saying that you are basic, you are necessary, and you are useful. What's interesting is he doesn't say, and I'm going to tell you the five easy steps to becoming salty and to becoming light. He says, you are salt, you are light, so be good at it. He declares it to be so. This powerful imagery that Jesus gives us is really simple, not simplistic, but simple and yet profound. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out how basic and necessary are salt and light. Just a couple of ideas that come from this notion of being light. One of the things I love to do is scuba dive, and one of my favorite ways to scuba dive is to do it at night. There's nothing at all wrong with jumping off a perfectly good boat into a perfectly dark ocean. It's just the most wonderful thing in the world because you can't see a thing until you turn on your light. And then the colors of the reef come alive, hundreds of colors. And what's amazing is all the fish that were swimming around during the day are now hiding in their little caves swimming. Yes, God created them so their little fins can go like this and they can sort of hover behind a rock and they can sleep. And all the nightlife comes out. And you can see it in all its color and hue. And sometimes I'll be like, whoa, what's that? Is that a shark? No, that's a lobster. Oh, what's that? Is that a lobster? No, that's a shark. And it's really cool. I love to dive at night. Yeah, it's a little scary, but it would be really scary without a light. And so light is basic. And when I come up, I got this little emergency light that blinks in case I'm in trouble so they can see me from the boat. Light is basic. Many of you know that I've been talking about my daughter, Melissa, and my four grandsons who've been in Papua New Guinea for the last several years, and they have made their way back. They are here in Naperville. So I'm, yes. And like, they're in my house. So Empty Nester was good for 2.5 weeks. I'm telling you, it was really cool, but it's overrated because now I have these four boys and my beautiful daughter in my house. But what's really interesting is that their journey took them through 5 or 6 flights, 10,000 miles across the South Pacific. And when you do that, you cross 15 different time zones. You cross the international dateline. You kind of go, hello, son, a couple of times as you beat it around. You know, it's you kind of meet the sun going around the earth. It's really weird. Well, that does all kinds of things. They try to control it with the plane, like they lower the lights and they say lower the shades, and then they open them up around 7 or 8 o'clock and they serve you breakfast, trying to get you into some sort of rhythm so when you get off the plane, you don't go, whoa. But you go, whoa, anyway, because it's so crazy, because all these little circadian clocks that trigger your hormones and body balances and metabolism and sleep and all that, they're way out of whack. And it takes about a week to 10 days of getting used to when the sun rises and when the sun sets to get into the new circadian rhythms of the places that you live. And that's why when you fly that length of time and you're having trouble getting in sync, they call it jet perfect. Many of you know that. Some of you need to get out more because you don't know what that means and you need to travel. Jet lag is worth it if you want to get somewhere far away. But light is basic. Can't function without it. I was texting a friend back and forth last night because his daughter graduated and they were celebrating a graduation party. I couldn't make it, but I was saying, you know, hug your daughter because I want her to know that I'm honored to be her pastor. He's going, if you can make it around 9:30, we're going to do fireworks. Why? Because against a night sky, fireworks will light up the sky. And you go, yes, my daughter made it. This is cool. Lord God, thank you. And we celebrate. So light is present from the beginning of time when we're born and through all of our travels and when we celebrate. And you can't get more basic than light. Basic, necessary, and useful. But let's talk about this other element that Jesus brings into his message as a way of helping people understand. No, if you're going to live out these Beatitudes, this is what it's going to look like. You are the salt of the earth. Salt, according to Wikipedia, has 14,000 or more uses. That's a lot. About 8% of the uses of salt are what we do with food. The rest of it is permeating our lives in a whole range of things, from medicine to healthcare, to education, to solvents that, you know, you clean this. Do you remember that 7 weeks ago we had snow on the ground and you put salt out to make it melt? Salt is basic and it's fundamental. In Jesus' day, though, it was even maybe perhaps more important because it was a preservative. You would use it to preserve meat. It was so costly to produce, you'd have to go and take it out, extract it out of seawater. You'd have to mine it. It was not easy to always get, so it was a commodity that was valuable. In fact, if you were in the Roman legion, you got paid in salt. And so if you were a Roman legionnaire who wasn't doing his job, you would say, that guy is not worth his salt. So when Jesus uses the word salt and light, everybody goes, oh, I know what he's talking about. This is not complicated doctrine. This is not big Trinitarian theology. This is some basic stuff. Jesus expects me to take these Beatitudes and somehow live them out in my home, in my work, and when I play. Those three areas that all of us function in life. Jesus is saying this is basic to you. So today we thought, rather than Pastor Glenn get up here and do this great big theological thing, we would do a little bit of a demonstration on what salt looks like. And so you're going to get to find out that I'm not only a pastor, but every once in a while I'm a chef because good grandpa's grill. A few years ago, I was recovering from some surgery and I started watching these shows on this cool channel called HGTV, Iron Chef and all these wonderful things. I'm like, that's cool. And so I bought some new pots and pans and some knives, and I actually got fairly decent at some things. So this morning, I'm going to do a little bit of a demonstration to show you how simple and basic Jesus' message really is. But I'm going to need 3 volunteers. Now wait, before you volunteer, here's the requirements. You're going to be a mystery judge, and you have to be willing to eat what I cook. It's eggs, okay? So nothing spectacular, but so I need 3 volunteers. Okay, so I got one here. I got one there, right there, and I got one here. Come on up. And just stand right over here. Just stand right over here. Stand right over here on that floor, that other one, yep. That right there. You guys are good. Perfect. Would you give a hand for our volunteer mystery judges? So in the handy-dandy Pastor Glenn portable cooking kit, I've got some sea salt. I got a little bowl with a little whisk. Oh, man, I got some eggs, 2 of them, because I think we used 4 or 5 at 9:29, not sure. Get some salt. I got salt and pepper right out of our own kitchen. Let's see. Oh, wow. I've got seasoned salt. It's written in pen. It's like a mystery. Like, we're not exactly sure what's in here, but it's in our staff kitchen if anybody wants to try it. And so let's see. What else do we have? For those of you that are watching your blood pressure, magic salt-free seasoning. I think this is the kind that Jesus said we should throw out, but I don't know, maybe we can use it. We'll see. We'll see what happens. And then I've got this for the really brave. Crushed red pepper. Anybody like hot and spicy on your eggs? Okay, good for you. Jesus is talking about being a flavor, being a spice, being useful. So let's see if we can figure this out. So I'm going to take an egg. Did you see that technique? Come on, seriously. Was that not cool or what? Technique, yes, technique, proper technique. Crack your eggs over your Bible and over your notes so that you can't read your notes afterwards. That's always helpful. A little whisk action. Now, how do you like your eggs? Over easy? Good. How do you like your eggs? Scrambled. Good. I'm so glad that you said that. So I don't know about you, but I love eggs, and I love a little seasoning on them. Now, eggs, of course, already have some salt in them because chickens grow up eating a whole bunch of things, and some of that is salt, and there's some sodium. So for some of you, you like it without any salt, and some of you like 1 pinch or 2 pinch. One of the things that I love about watching cooking shows is that some of these cooks, you know, they'll take the salt, and they'll just do... Oh. I think I just salted the communion bread, I'm not sure. You know, and a little flair. So we're going to try a little Pastor Glenn cooking flair. But first we need to get these eggs started, which means, yes, put the oil on first. This is going to get interesting. Watch right there. Yeah, see? Canola oil for all of you. All right, not too bad. Here we go. You gotta have the sights and sounds too. Is that cool or what? Someone asked me if we're gonna do this every week. I'm like, I don't know, it's kind of fun. So I need, is Ryan Hammer in the house? There he is, right there, good. Ryan, take a look at these eggs. Do you like them runny or firm or, doesn't matter, you're gonna get them how I cook them, so. The other requirement of being a judge is you have to be nice to the pastor because, well, just because you have to.
Call me your sous chef again.
Oh, yeah, you're my sous chef. I forgot. Ryan Hammer, worship leader and sous chef. Okay, so what I need you guys to do is get right here in front. Not too close because I don't want, OSHA will be calling. So look that way. Don't watch what I'm doing. No. Turn that way. Okay, now you guys keep them focused like this. Keep them focused. You're the mystery judges. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get 3 servings of scrambled eggs. Yeah, look at that. Exactly. See what I'm saying? This is like really good stuff. Okay, so then we're going to take...
Hey.
Turn around. Oh. Dude, what? They don't do that on HGTV. They never turn around. Now just, okay. Okay, so then there's, right? Exactly, and then there's, Sous chef, will you please serve our judges? Thank you. Okay, one at a time. Let's see. You go first, right here. You go first. Go ahead. How is it? Thumbs up. Pastor Glenn, Master Chef. Yes. Okay. No. You wait. You go. Matt, you go. Was that salted to your like? The answer is yes. Perfect. And what about you? Taste it. And we have for you some water. Cool. Thank you. Oh, no, you can keep the eggs. Yeah, you keep the eggs. But wait a minute. I want to make sure that you don't think we just make fun of people. So you each get a $5 gift certificate to the cafe for being willing to be a mystery judge. You can sit and enjoy your eggs now, yes. Salt. It's basic. But some of us are too afraid. We don't want to be salt. I don't want to get into that situation. It might require something of me. I don't want to move towards that situation because I'm going to have to enter some darkness, some pain, some frustration. So I don't use my salt. And some of us are like, yeah, okay, I'll bring the salt. Here we go. And Jesus is talking about salt that enhances, that brings flavor. You know it because you can taste it, but you can't see it. It goes away because it's not about you. It's about the glory of God in and through you. So I have the privilege of being an executive coach and doing some work with some senior teams. And several years ago, I was working with this guy. He was a Christian, a CEO of a company, about 200 people. And he said to me, Glenn, I have a problem. I said, what's going on? He said, well, this has nothing to do with operations and execution and marketing and all that stuff and leadership. This has to do with a spiritual issue. I'm like, okay, I can talk about those things too. He said, well, we have some groups that meet in our cafeteria during lunchtime. We have a Muslim group that meets for prayer. We have an atheist group that meets for a book club. And I've got a guy who's a Christian who wants to start a Bible study. I said, cool. He said, no, not cool. I said, why? You're a Christian. Why not? He said, because this guy's terrible. Nobody likes him. Sometimes he's not very good at his job. Sometimes he's brilliant and sometimes he's not. But he thinks he's brilliant all the time. And he thinks he's so brilliant that he takes every opportunity to tell everyone else how brilliant he is and how inadequate they are. And he wants to teach about Jesus. What should I do? Could you talk to him? I said, hold on a second. So you mean there's a guy in your company? Has he ever heard this message before? Like in a performance review? Well, no, he probably doesn't know some of his sharper edges. How long has this been going on? A long time. So you haven't done what CEOs do, what leaders do, what executives do, what project managers do, what people do in situations where they're serving with someone else on a team somewhere and you give feedback, caring, kind, you don't attack the person, but you give feedback and say, hey, that's not you at your best. So you haven't given them any feedback. So you want me to go be the first bearer of bad news. Not going to happen. You need to be salt. Not too much, not too little, which is already the case, but just the right amount. You need to call this guy in and say, hey, I want you to start a Bible study, but not yet. You need to step up your game. You need to become somebody that people trust, that people look to as someone who can be talked to and reasoned with, because right now you're not. And then you can come alongside him and maybe coach him. A little bit of salt, just the right amount to help this guy become the kind of person who you'd be honored and happy to have lead a Bible study. He said, yeah, I get it. You see, this is not just about church. Everyone in here is going, yeah, I can be salt and light. Well, good, you're looking at a bunch of people hearing the same message in a safe environment. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a group of people that's sitting out on a hillside with all their enemies sitting around, and he's going, you be salt to that guy. You be light to that person. You be this in your work, wherever that is, as a marketing manager, as a lawyer, as a financial manager, as a wealth advisor, as an insurance agent, as a teacher, as an Uber driver, as a medical technician, as a student hanging out with the students right next to you in the locker room, as a tennis player playing golf this summer, fishing, as you travel, as you play, as you work. This is about you being salt and light at home in your kitchen. Does your family say he's just the right amount of salt? Or do they sometimes say, dude, back off? You're like dumping the salt all over the family and it's killing us. You be salt. You be light in your kitchen, in your backyard, in your bedroom, wherever you go. Jesus is talking about something basic, necessary, and useful. And that is profound. What about that domain called Facebook? Are you salt? Or are you like red hot pepper? In your conversations, how are you showing up in the world, bringing truth, bringing mercy, bringing compassion? That's what Jesus is talking about. The message ends right here. Is there anybody in here who doesn't understand how basic, necessary, and useful salt and light are? Is there anybody in here who can't think of at least one or two places where you could bring just a little more salt, just a little more light? We have some people that are going to be bringing salt and light to a couple of different places. We have a Pine Ridge mission team heading out in the next few days. They're going to go up to Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. That is a place that over the last 200 years has had a lot of Christians come in, and some of them with way too much salt, like the kind of salt that kills you. And so we have to go with just the right amount of tenderness up there and bring some hope and healing in a place that's really tough. And then we've got some students going on some work camp trips. We've got a work camp in Green Bay, then a college trip to Guatemala, and a week of hope in Minneapolis. They're going to be bringing some food and some construction and some education and a whole range of other things, being the hands and feet of Jesus, salt and light. If you fit in any of these categories, student or college age or Pine Ridge, would you stand up? Stand up. Now come on up here, right here. I don't have any more eggs for you, but come on up. This is it. Like, here's the message that I just talked about. Dun dun dun. Yeah. Lived out. Yes. You see, Jesus is talking about this, taking my life and being basic, being useful, and going out into the world and taking my skills, my gifts, your gifts, and doing something, bringing mercy and hope and justice and peace and compassion and all those things to a wide range of places in this world. Pick a spot, any spot. These folks are going to that list up there. Let this moment be a challenge to you. Where are you going to show up and be salt and light today? In your life, where are you going to do the hands and feet work of Jesus? Would you raise a Lutheran hand up and raise it towards me, towards the cross up here? We're going to pray together and commission this group of people who's going to go out this summer and do the work of Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for each of these young missionaries who are going to go out into the world and touch people in your name who are salt and light, who are going to go and do things that they can't even imagine. They don't even know some of the things they're planning for and some of the things that they haven't planned for. Lord Jesus, I pray that each of these people, each of these students, each of these adults and college kids would go out into the world and make a difference in a way that brings you glory, that lifts you high, that shows people what it looks like to be Jesus Christ in the world. Lord, we commission them, we send them out into this world to do your work in your name for your glory, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, you guys can have a seat.